You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
If you're always thinking about something that you've always wanted to do and you never do it, that's way worse than like facing the challenges of doing it, you know? So I could be like, all right, I'm going to stay in Colorado. Like, I love it here. But then what if I did that and I just said, well, I'm not going to move to Norway because I don't really want to get into all that. I'd always be wondering like what my life would have been with this girl.
Welcome to Jump Podcast, formerly known as the Budget Minded Traveler. I'm your host, Traveling Jackie, and I'm here to explore travel, adventure, and lifestyle in ways meant to motivate you to move and get out and see the world. Let this show be a source of travel advice and inspiration, but remember that in the end, it's you who takes the leap. All right, guys, guess what? The published date for today's episode is April 10th, 2019. And that means that a rather important date and anniversary has just gone by. And that was when I first launched this podcast 5 years ago. The podcast is 5 years old. So today I just want to take another moment to make a community shout out to everyone who has somehow contributed to this podcast journey, whether you listen to the show or have been there for me personally along the way or both, or if you've been a guest on the show or left me a review or sent me a message, shared this show with a friend, or maybe showed up to travel with me in some far-flung corner of the planet because you listen to this podcast. It is amazing to me how much this podcast has changed my life. So thank you always and forever for being right where you are, tuning in to my voice from wherever you are. I always say it takes a village, and I am so grateful that you are part of my village and my own journey in podcasting. I can't believe it's been 5 years. So cheers to that. Thanks for being here. Anyway, today we get to hear from another one of our favorite podcasters, actually. You'll remember Jason Moore from Zero to Travel. He's been on the show several times, and I've been on his show several times. When you're in this solo podcasting business, it's really nice to have show buddies that share space in the same arena and are always happy to jump on the mic, just like Hayden in the last episode too. So I'm so happy to have Jason back on today. And even though he's been a guest several times, we have an entirely new topic of conversation for you today, one that Jason and I have never actually talked about that I can't wait to get into, which is his life in Norway. And how he met his wife, who is Norwegian, and what it's like for him to have transitioned from sunny Colorado to full-time expat in Norway. What that means for daily life, his family life. He has two kids now, language and communication, and lots of other things. Before we get into it today, I want to take a moment to give a shout out to our supporting partners for today's show. Tossable Digits is your cell phone number solution when it comes to heading overseas for long periods of time. If you're thinking about studying abroad or moving abroad or working abroad or becoming a digital nomad or a long-term traveler of sorts, check this out. Nobody wants to keep an expensive cell phone plan at home that you can't use overseas, but many of us would also hate to part with our precious phone numbers. So you can use Tossable Digits to turn your number into a virtual number, which you can then have calls and texts forwarded to any number that you then get overseas. And you only pay for what you use. And they're offering a killer deal to start out, just $1 for your entire first month. And you can find that at tossabledigits.com/jump. So bookmark that now, even if you're going to be traveling a little bit later, tossabledigits.com/jump. And you can also find that link on the show notes page. Also, I know a lot of you have already jumped on the Pimsleur train since I started sharing these a couple months ago. Pimsleur is a language learning app that focuses on audio lessons, and it's a great way to kickstart your language learning goals from wherever you are right now, Even if you only have 5 minutes at a time, or if you have a commute to work, you can take it with you and access it straight from your phone. Think of the Pimsleur approach like hearing a song on the radio. You don't have to study the lyrics or understand musical notes and chords to remember a song. Chances are, if you hear a song once, you can sing along the next time you hear it. And by listening to the native speakers interact in everyday conversations on the Pimsleur app and exposing yourself on a regular basis to these conversations, you will pick up the words like you pick up song lyrics. As humans, we are hardwired to learn this way, and that's why Pimsleur works. You can try it right now for free for 7 days by going to myjumpoffer.com. And then it's only $14.95 a month after that. And you can cancel anytime. So myjumpoffer.com, that link is also on the show notes page. Check it out. Learn another language. All the cool kids are doing it. And speaking of cool kids, let's get Jason on here to take our minds on a journey to Norway. This is going to be cool because you've been on the show, I don't even know how many times now. We've talked about so many different things, but today I'm kind of excited because I'm hoping this is going to be juicy. I want to know about like how you ended up in Norway. Like, I want you to tell us the story because you're married to a Norwegian. You have little Norwegian babies. Like, you are doing the thing, the expat thing in Norway, which is not so common, you know, like, The last few episodes that I've done in this series have been about language learning, but they're all romance languages, which is also why I'm like, okay, who can I talk to that's like not a romance language? And of course, I thought of you. And I feel like
we're show buddies now.
I know. Well, I mean, yes, and I feel like you have definitely something to bring to the table that's totally out of the box when it comes to like expat life and learning a foreign language, and because Norwegian, I mean, it's so different. It's not a language people generally think, oh, I'm going to learn Norwegian, you know, like that's going to be really helpful in this life, you know?
Right.
And so, but you're doing it.
Trust me. I had the same feelings, Jackie.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're doing it sort of out of two things. One, maybe a bit of necessity, and two, probably, hopefully, some interest. I mean, here you are, like, living in Norway with a whole, like, Norwegian thing going on. So, would you tell us your story? Like, can you tell us your love story? Like, will you tell us how you ended up there? How you met your wife, and, like, just all the things?
It is a juicy tale. I think juicy was the right word. I think you used that earlier. Mm-hmm. First of all, thanks for having me back on the show. It's nice to be show buddies with you.
Yay.
Super fun. Yeah. How do we end up in different places as humans? I don't know. Like, I'm actually in Boulder, Colorado right now, which you know, and we've been traveling now with my family. Like you mentioned, I have two little ones. And my wife, she's on maternity leave because they get a really nice maternity leave. And I'm actually on, it's called Papa Permission, which is like the paternity leave. I'm on paternity leave right now. I'm not even supposed to be working,
oh,
Jackie.
Oh, no, we're ruining it. Oh, I'm
this
so
microphone's
sorry.
So heavy. Oh, I don't know if I can hold it up. This is too much work.
And,
I'm getting in trouble.
And you just had to spend a whole month in Mexico with your community. I mean, that must have been so hard.
Well, we were in Florida for 2 weeks, and we were in Mexico for like almost 2 weeks. And then now we've been in Colorado for about a month and a half now, and we've still got a few weeks to go. So it's been sweet. But we're heading back to Norway in mid-April, the time of this recording. And yeah, I never thought I would live in Norway, Jackie. It's funny because with our community location indie, or like the digital nomad movement, if you're tuned into that, you kind of know that a lot of digital nomads start a business so they can then travel, and they'll go to places where it's super cheap. Right? Mm-hmm. They'll go to like,
like Norway.
Hey, I'm gonna live in, yeah. I'm doing it all wrong, which is pretty funny because everybody else is like, hey, I'm gonna, you know, have this business and I'm gonna live in Chiang Mai for $300 a month. And I'm like, oh, I could buy a beer for $300 in Norway, you know? Like,
yes.
But it is, yeah, it's, it's my home, and there, I mean, we can get into the language thing and how that journey was, but the love story, I met my wife in a hostel in Brazil when I was on a short holiday with a buddy of mine. I wasn't like looking to meet anybody or anything. In fact, if you want the tale to get juicier, I was actually with another person at the time.
Oh, sorry. There's the juice. Admit,
but yeah, I mean, hey, I'm just being honest.
That's what
life's
happens.
Crazy sometimes. It's not ideal, you know?
I think everybody out there is going to be like, oh yeah, that's not a... we understand. We've been there.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't know. I just saw her at the hostel and we just had some kind of, you know, have you ever had that instant connection with somebody where it's just like, oh... something about that person's spirit is speaking to me, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't really know how else to describe it. So, yeah, then I started getting... I was already a little bit confused with the relationship I was in. I was like, you know, is this like leading toward marriage? We're supposed to get married, but I'm not really sure if I want to. So there was some confusion there. And then I met my wife and... well, she wasn't my wife at the time. Yeah. But, yeah, we met at this hostel and we... just spent some time together, just a couple days, like just hanging out and doing different things. I was with my buddy, so she would join us. And, you know, you go out with people in the hostel and you do different activities and stuff. And we just, I don't know, we just had this connection. But I did tell her that, hey, I'm like with somebody. I know this is like really weird because we have this connection. And there was all this type of, it wasn't dramatic, but it was kind of, it was like dramatic for me, you know? So anyway, long story short, she ends up going back to Norway. She was at the end of like a 6-month solo backpacking trip through South America. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I got to figure out my life, you know? What the hell is going on here, Jackie? Mm-hmm. So I fly back to the States. I tell the girl I'm with, like, basically everything that happens. Like, I had this connection with this girl, blah, blah, blah. And so we almost break up. We end up getting back together. We go on tour together and we reconcile. We're together for a while. But I kind of still had this experience with this girl, right? Yeah. So, you know, I communicated that to her and then we weren't really in touch because it wouldn't have been appropriate for me to like commit to being with somebody else and then that we would stay in touch on, you know, having Skype calls every week or something. So, but she would email me like once a year on my birthday. So anyway, like,
whoa, this
4 years
a long
passes.
Time. Holy whoa. Okay.
Yeah. And at this point, like the other girl and I had broken up and that was a thing, you know, big thing I had to work through. And then I was single and I was doing that whole thing. And then after being single for a while, and I just kind of had this girl in the back of my head. And then I guess it was the same for her. So I was like, maybe I should get in touch. So I think I reached out to her and then we started emailing. Then we started, like, we finally had a Skype call at one point. And we were like writing letters and all this sort of romantic type of stuff. Because I'm sort of a bit of a romantic, I guess. I'd have to admit it. I actually like romantic comedies, Jackie. Is that wrong?
I appreciate that. I mean,
I appreciate
romantic
a good
comedies
romantic
are
comedy.
Hilarious. Like they're good. They're full of life lessons and we can handle that. That's okay.
Yeah, okay, good. this is a safe space here.
Me and thousands of years.
Yes.
Yeah. It's so, okay.
Yeah. So we had this like sort of romantic communication thing going on, like literally like letters and cards, handwritten and all this stuff. So
a
then
little PS, I love I think, you.
Yeah, but this is going on over a period of months, but we still haven't seen each other. So we're like still living our lives and everything, you know? And I think she was dating somebody but it wasn't, I didn't really know. We didn't really talk too much about that kind of stuff. We just kind of got back in touch, right?
Yeah.
So that evolved over some months. And then I think at a certain point I was like, well, hey, why don't I come visit you? And then she was like, she didn't seem too keen on it because she just got an apartment and she was kind of like busy. I think she was dating somebody else and she just told me that the other day. So like, I was like, all right, well, I guess like, you know, maybe that's not a thing or whatever. But meanwhile, like I would always wonder like, oh, what is like this girl in Norway? Like what's Norway like? What would it be like if we met again? And would it even be a thing, you know? So anyway, more time passes. And at some point, I think we had a conversation where we're just like, you know, we either, I think I basically said, like, we either have to meet up in person or, like, kind of stop doing this.
Yeah.
Because you live 4,000 miles away, and how long are we going to do this? You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's
exactly,
like, clearly we're not just, like, pen pals, you know? There's something more there, and we had this experience together in South America, like, years prior. So we decided to meet up in New York City over Easter, and then it was sort of like love all over again, you know?
Oh, that's
It was just like, it was just there.
How much time had passed?
4 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So we spent like 5 days together. I mean, she actually met my family only because...
Oh, that was quick.
I'm from the Northeast, and they were having like an Easter thing, and I was... I live in Colorado, so I wanted to see them. So I'm like, well, do you want to go have like Easter dinner with my family? Because it was like a train ride away, like an hour. It seems silly not to, but it was also like, oh, this is kind of weird because she's meeting my family. Mm-hmm, but of course, they knew all about the story and everything. And so it just was like the magic was there.
Aww.
And then from then on, because I went into it like I'm all casual. I'm like, I'm like a trout. I just want to like, we'll hang out, and if it's cool, we'll just kind of see where it goes. But like, of course, after coming back, I'm like, oh, I got this girlfriend, and like, this is the girl I'm going to be with. You know?
Whoa! After 5 days, I mean, yes. After 4 years and 5 days,
right? I guess. So then,
wow.
Yeah. So then, basically, our sixth day was me living with her in Norway.
Holy.
If you think about that.
Okay. Wait. So what happened? How long did that take?
Well, then I decided, all right, so then I decided, because I can work from anywhere, I was like, well, all right, why don't I come visit her in Norway? The Schengen visa is 3 months long, as you know. So my head was kind of like, all right, well, I'll just come and we'll spend time together. And if it doesn't work out, then I'll just take my backpack and go travel through Eastern Europe or something. You know, that was kind of like my plan. Like, I'm like, whatever, you know, if after like 3 weeks this isn't a thing, then I'm a traveler, I'll just find somewhere to go, it's no big deal.
Yep,
like,
totally.
So but it was funny because when I called her, I was like, all right, I don't think I told her I booked tickets. I'm like, I'm coming to visit you. She's like, that's awesome. She's like, how long are you coming for? I'm like, 3 months. And then it was just like silence.
Surprise!
I was like, oh crap. But that was my thought process. I don't think she knew that, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And like, she lived in like a one bedroom apartment. So it was not an easy, you know, it's weird for both of us. Like, all of a sudden, I'm just there. So it's
together.
Like this weird sort of in between, because I'm not going to rent an apartment in Oslo I wasn't going to do it. It's just expensive and it just seemed like kind of stupid. So we both kind of agreed on that. Like, what am I going to do? Live there for years and like just date her casually and see her once a week? Like, there was no, that wasn't an option. That kind of dating wasn't an option for us. It was kind of like you were like all in or not, you know?
I so appreciate that though. Like, I feel that as a traveler, it's kind of a reality as a traveler. It's like, you got to figure stuff out because you're on to the next, you know, you're moving, like there's all these elements involved, and it's freaking hard to date. I will say that.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of forces the issue.
Yeah,
right?
It does. It does. It makes things like go, you have to like expedite to
you do.
Yeah. So
for
okay.
better or worse, like there's that's a whole conversation,
I guess,
like
is.
How you manage that in your mind and in relationships. And is that a good thing or a bad thing? But like, what is a good thing and a bad thing? It's like, it's so individual and the dynamic between the two people and everything like that. And I think, you know, you can get caught up in like new love, of course, but then there's like, I mean, it's good that new love sort of diminishes or I kind of like, I guess it, there's some naivete around like what might be involved with actually moving to Norway and do it. Like, if I like knew everything that was going to be involved, it would have been probably too much, too overwhelming. But instead, I could just focus on, hey, like this person feels like my soulmate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that was like enough to allow us to overcome the things we needed to in an international relationship, which is not easy when you're moving to another country and all that other stuff. So anyway, I wasn't moving there when I went there. I was just visiting.
So
then we had some time, and then like at one point it kind of got tense, I think, after like a month and a half or 2 months. and I was just like, I'm going to Italy. My buddy runs a food tour company down there. So I just like went down there just to spend a week and just get away and give each other some space. Not because we were like fighting or anything, but it was just kind of like, it was pretty intense, right? Like,
well, I'm like, yeah, I can
living
imagine.
With this person. Mm-hmm. And then now we're just like living together after hanging out for some days. And
mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, that sounds pretty intense.
Yeah. But then when I left, she was like, something switched in her, because she was kind of, I think, struggling with, like, she had a new apartment. She kind of had her thing going on. She's like, do I like, this is a big thing. Like, do I want this in my life? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And not like, like, I knew she cared about me, but did she really want, like, this was going to be a bigger thing? You know, it just felt that way. And I think on that trip, she just decided, like, she was definitely wanting that, you know, because there was definitely like some kind of energy shift. Mm-hmm. So when I came back, it was just, since then, we were like really, really together.
That's
then,
so cool.
You know? Yeah. So that, yeah. Then, I mean, just to summarize, I was kind of then traveling back and forth to Norway for a good long period of time. I didn't officially move there until about 3 years ago at the time of this recording, like 3 years mm-hmm. and 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. So, there you go, Jackie. Now everybody has heard the story.
I know. Thank you for sharing that. I know those things can get personal, but I mean, we're all people.
Yeah, that's okay.
We're all persons. So,
right.
When did you get married?
June 7th of 2014.
Okay. So 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. And then, and when did you have your first kid? How old are your kids?
My daughter's almost 3 and my son's 8 months. So it's funny because we weren't like hyper planning anything necessarily.
Yeah.
We weren't like not trying, but we weren't like necessarily going for it either. But yeah, it's funny because when we found out we were going to have Ellie, we were still in between. Like, my wife quit her job. She came to Colorado and then she came back to visit her family in Norway. We still hadn't picked a place to live, which is kind of a conundrum when you find out you're going to have a kid. So
yeah, I mean, that was a anyway, tough it is anyway. And then to add to the mix,
that was
human.
A tough couple days because it became clear almost immediately in my head, even though I didn't want to admit it right away, because I love Colorado, Jackie. I traveled all over for a really long time and I picked Boulder, Colorado to live because it checked the most boxes
mm-hmm.
and this was a place that I loved. So I think that says a lot, being that I could have lived anywhere, you know, where I could get a visa and stuff, but, or I could just kept traveling around, but I love this place. So it became clear pretty quickly that like Norway was going to be the better option to have a kid because of the benefits and, you know, the maternity leave and all that stuff. So that was tough because I had to kind of let go of the idea that I could be here. And that's when I sort of accepted that, okay, I guess I'm going to become an expat, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Not like just visiting here for a few months and like hanging out and sort of having the travel experience and sort of living there, but like kind of one toe in, one toe out.
Right.
But oh, this is like going to be my new home.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah. And I'm married and
we didn't have anywhere to live, like, because she had sold her apartment and everything. So,
oh, yeah.
We were like, oh, okay, I guess we're going to have a kid and we're also, mm-hmm. we need to figure out where to live and what we're going to do and all this stuff. So
yeah.
It's crazy.
Hey, life, keeping it interesting.
Keep it spontaneous, you know?
Yeah. You know what I kind of love though, is that right now you are in Boulder yet you live in Norway, but like you're there,
yes.
You're making it happen anyway, which
yes,
is obviously really important, you know, to find that balance and be able to get out and still be in the place, like do all the things. And how do you like living in Norway?
That's a trick question.
Really?
No. No, because people ask me that and like it's hard to answer because I guess in my head it's a series of ups and downs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's more than just living in a place. It's like all these other challenges that kind of come up that are related to adapting to this new country.
And a new culture and language and all the things.
New culture, new, totally different kind of daily life. Because for me, it's not just, so you know Boulder, it's like a small town. You can get around everywhere on a bike. Mm-hmm. Like actually Oslo is very bikeable. It's sunny here 300 days a year. Americans, you know, we like our cars, we hop in our cars, we have our car freedom, we go here and there. And then I was moving to a European city, which I didn't have a car. Mm-hmm. I actually failed my driver's license there, which sucked. But you know, taking public transportation and living in a city, which is a totally different, like if I moved to a city in the States, that's totally different than being in Boulder, you know? So there's like adjustments on many levels. It's not just the cultural thing, but it was like living in a city. Obviously far from friends and family. So when he asked me that question, it's like, well, I do, there's a lot of things I like about it. And then a lot of things that are hard too, like not being able to be close to friends and family, or like we were just talking a little bit before we recorded about, I was hanging out with our mutual friend, Matt, last night, and we were recording, and like, we know a lot of people around here that are doing the type of work that we are.
Yeah.
So it's really fun to get around that, you know? And I think, like, it would be so cool if I was here. Like, we could just be doing stuff like this all the time and doing different projects and everything. But can't you romanticize any location, right?
Oh, of course. Like,
it's super easy for me to romanticize my life in Colorado from, because I know what it was living here. But like, the fact of the matter is, like, people in my life then have left, like the city's changed. So it's just, And I have two kids, so it's be a different scenario. Mm-hmm. Like coming back here would mean, okay, I have to pay for crazy daycare costs if I want to work. I have to pay for crazy healthcare. Like that would like change my daily life dramatically, you know? So I do like living in Norway. Like the thing I like the most about it is where we live in Oslo is the simplicity of my daily life. We live in a 600 square foot apartment with two kids.
Wow.
Which is insane. Mm. But we have like four stores near us. Like everything is just walking distance. We take public transportation. We don't, it's just very like, it's sort of like very minimal, simple living for us. Right. And I like that because it frees my mind to do other things. Right. Like I don't have to go sit in traffic or do this or run around or whatever. Like I can just walk to the store and like get dinner and walk home and just kind of be in the neighborhood, like hanging around the neighborhood a lot, Jackie, you know, like it's just like the simple life, you know?
Yeah.
We don't like spend a lot of money on things. We couldn't because we can't fit them in our apartment.
Minimalist. You know? Yeah.
We're not even traveling a ton right now in Norway because it's just, with two kids that are smaller, it's not as enjoyable to like, well, I shouldn't say that. It's enjoyable in a different way, but we can't like, we talked about going up north to Lofoten at one point, but I'm like, I want to do all these hikes and like, we can't do that, you know, unless we have somebody there to like watch the kids because they're too young to do these things. So it's like, we'll just wait on that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, it is what it is. Right. But, So there's a lot of things I love about Norway, and then there are a lot of things that can be challenging at times as well when I'm in, if I'm going to like a bad headspace for a period of days, but that's life,
dude,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, I say that about Montana. This is my home. I love it here, you know, but it's not perfect. Like it comes with a huge set of challenges everywhere. Nowhere is perfect. I mean, really?
No.
Like when you were a few minutes ago, when you were saying, oh, well, there are things I like and there are things I don't like. Well, you can apply that to pretty much everything in life. So,
right.
You know, I mean, but what you just said, like the headspace thing, that's also very important because it matters where you are, not just where you are geographically, but like where you are internally, like to be balanced wherever it is that the road takes you. Because especially as a traveler, you know, like challenges abound, cultures are hard. Language barriers are hard, and it doesn't matter if you're at home or abroad, you're going to be faced with challenges every day. I mean, it's
Some of the best days I've had anywhere when I was based somewhere are the days that I have embraced like the traveler's mindset. You know what I mean? where you just like kind of, mm-hmm. have you ever done that in Montana or something? You have a day where you just.
Definitely.
For some reason you have that feeling of adventure, mm-hmm. where it's like, oh, let's like pretend I'm just here visiting. It's not like you're not tricking yourself. It's just some kind of, I don't know.
It's
some
like
kind
putting
of fresh
on a new set of glasses or something.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And then when you're traveling through a place for like a month, it's, or a few weeks or a week or whatever, it's pretty easy to maintain like a level of curiosity and happiness and all this stuff. But when you live somewhere for 3 years, you're going to experience more of the ups and downs in life. You know, you're surrounded by the same physical space, but you're still just living your life. Mm-hmm. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. So it still comes down to you. It's like still your life. Yeah. It just, the scenery right. is different, you know, or whatever.
But I'm so appreciative of what Norway has given us in terms of, I guess I should say it's like support and just kind of like the culture there is really laid back in many ways. Like people, I think, see Norwegians as uptight and cold. That's the standard stereotype, right? Mm-hmm. But when you get into the culture, you realize, well, you know, people are just, that's like part of their being polite. So I think we talked about this before, maybe on the podcast, like Norwegians, to them, being polite is like not talking to each other on the street or bothering each other,
oh, yeah.
Which is very hard to adapt to as an American because we kind of like BSing with everybody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now I have a different experience because I can still be me and people know I'm not from there, and then they'll open up to me in ways they might not open up to other people that are Norwegian, because if a Norwegian was like talking to them in the street, they might be like, dude, like, why are you talking to me? This mm-hmm. is weird. But like, oh, this guy's American. Like,
he'll talk
and they
to
want,
me.
Yeah, they want to have those conversations, you know, oh, ultimately. Cool. But, but so I think on the exterior, it seems very formal and can seem that way. But they're so friendly. And it is a laid back, like, I compare it to like beach town, you know, like even though we're in a city, it's kind of like, it's not like being in New York where you're like, you get out and it's just like hustle bustle, you know? It's just,
yeah.
People are in touch with nature. They have their cabin lifestyles. Like, it doesn't seem like go, go, go. I think they appreciate that, you know, they're, what is it, working to live and not living to work. Yeah. And a lot of this comes from, to be quite honest, what I think, I mean, we don't have to go on to this topic here, but imagine if you walked up to like the average American and just told them, oh, by the way, like Joe Smith or Jane Smith, you don't have to worry about your healthcare anymore.
Hmm.
Everything that could possibly happen is totally taken care of.
Mm.
So don't worry about your medical stuff anymore. Like, how would that change people's daily lives here?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stress around that and a lot of anxiety around people having to take care of their individual situations and make sure their families are taken care of. And you don't have that in Norway because mm-hmm. it's just taken care of, you know?
So the
that
key
changes the dynamic of the energy of a society.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, I can imagine. So you're saying the key is to find a Norwegian and get married, huh?
I mean, it just takes a lot of pressure off, especially in somebody, you know, especially if you have kids and everything too.
Yeah.
It really does. I mean, that's like $2,000 to $3,000 a month I don't have to pay. Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Yeah, that's totally, that changes like everything.
They have the ability to sort of be laid back and relaxed because they don't have to worry if like one emergency is going to wipe out everything they have, you know?
Yeah. I mean, wow. Yeah. Systems, our system. We won't get into that actually, but.
No, but I mean, it's a huge part of living in Norway. Yeah. Like the more that I've kind of been there, the more I've realized how much that impacts the daily life and the society there. Right.
Yeah.
And it's just a different mentality and a different approach to things that, I mean, everybody can make all the excuses in the world. We're like, well, it's like only 5 million people. And these are all the same things that people say when they're looking at a system like that system versus the American system or whatever.
Yeah, totally.
But the bottom line is there is in the culture, there is this sort of idea of taking care of each other, which is really nice.
That does sound really nice. It does. And so do you feel pretty welcomed there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it takes time to make friends or have like a network, a social network anywhere you go,
yep.
right? Like mm-hmm. if you move to a new place. I do think it's a bit more difficult there. I feel like here people are a little more open to like inviting you to different places mm-hmm. And kind of getting you involved, even though you might be a stranger there. A lot of people have their sort of their crew already, you know? And it can be harder to break into that. But, you know, after they have a few beers, they're much looser with it.
If only you can come up with that $300.
Right. But like when you do get a chance to get into a conversation or like hang out with a Norwegian, I mean, you realize how super friendly they are. And, you know, we're all just people. Mm-hmm. So it's, I think like when it comes down to it, it's just been harder. And I've heard this from other expats too. It might be harder than some places. It's not just my bias, cause I'm a pretty social guy. I like talking to people and I've still had a hard time building community there. But I've also set an intention to kind of get out into the community more, and you do have to make the effort too, mm-hmm. you know, so to be fair on both yeah. sides.
Well, also but, I can imagine it's even harder with, when you have kids at home, you know, cause it takes, that yeah. takes a lot of time and you're not just single on your own, like able to just go out and meet all the people, you know, you have obligations and a family life and all of that too. So.
Right. Well, my mom likes to remind me that after my big transformative travel trip was taking a solo backpacking trip through Europe when I was out of college. And that was the thing that like opened my eyes, like, whoa, mm-hmm. holy crap. You can like, I met people that were traveling for a year or 2 years. I was yeah. like, what? This is crazy. You can do this.
Yeah.
This is like the thing that kind of hooked me. And I think I said to my mom at one point, she likes to remind me like, I want to live in Europe. I'm going to live in Europe someday. Mm. And I got my wish.
Got your wish.
And it is pretty cool. sweet. And I'm looking forward to exploring more of Europe because it's a great base to, you know, fly around. As you know, everything's right there.
So easy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I spent like over a decade working on the road here in the States. So like, I feel like I've explored so many places here because I have, mm-hmm. and I'm looking forward to that in Europe. But, yeah. Yeah, I don't want to sound like, do I sound negative in this podcast?
No, I don't think
so. Or just
so.
Real.
No, I think just it's real. Just life. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just super life. Interesting. I mean, like, it's the life that you're used to, but like we're not. So I think it's interesting to hear about, you know, your life and what the reality of that for you. Cause like, I think you represent a lot of, I mean, I think a lot of people can relate to you just as a, you know, lover of Colorado from the East Coast, whatever. And here you find yourself in love and in Norway and like, okay, mm-hmm. let's do this thing, you know, like figuring it out. And I mean, that's life. And,
right.
Yeah. I don't think it's negative.
Yeah. There's all these challenges, when it comes to like an international relationship, but you know, it would be way worse. I mean, you could say this about travel, right, Jackie? Like you, I don't know if there's a snappy way to put this, but like, if you're always thinking about something that you've always wanted to do and you never do it, that's way worse than like facing the challenges of doing it, mm. you know? So I could be like, all right, I'm going to stay in Colorado. Like I love it here. But then what if I did that? And I just said, well, I'm not going to move to Norway because I don't really want to get into all that. I'd always be wondering like what my life would have been with this girl, you know?
Mm.
And we yeah. have an amazing thing. So like,
oh, that's really
a terrible
cool.
way to live, right? Like you kind of have to just go with,
yeah.
I don't say like go with your heart, like that sounds so cheesy, but it is.
No, but that's it.
There is like, well, there is a, yeah, this element of like kind of tapping into your intuition and just being like, hey, mm-hmm. you know, let me just not think about the million things around this. And let me just like do this one thing that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll figure out the rest later, you know?
Yeah. And you know what that is? It's individuality. That's you being you and listening to you and doing the thing that you think you should do. That's what it is. And that's what makes the story so unique, you know? It's cool.
Yeah, I guess so.
It totally is. It is. Because
I think everybody, I mean, if you get a chance to visit Norway, you got to come. It's, yeah, it's, I mean, so much beautiful nature. Like when I say the people are super friendly, you'll see it once you start having those interactions. And it's just like a peaceful, cool society, you know? Yeah. It's really a relaxing place to be.
I have to say, Norway is like at the top of my bucket list right now. It's way up there. It's been up there. And I think it's the Lofoten Islands, like up in the north. And I mean, all of that, those pictures like pull at my heart. It's like,
epic,
I need
right?
to go there. Yeah. And I don't think my listeners quite know this yet, but I am putting together a group trip to Norway next year. And
Yeah,
that's going to be my next big like bucket list trip. Like last year we went to Jordan, which is the place I had never been and I wanted to go. And this year I'm like, you know what? It's Norway. I'm doing it. Like, let's make it happen. So you guys.
Well, we got to talk about that.
I know.
Make
so
some
I
plans
would,
to hang.
You know what? It's funny because I've never even met you in person. We've been friends for like a long time now.
Yeah.
Years.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I'm really looking forward to that. You have to do this trip.
I know. I am going to do this trip. You guys out there, you guys come with me and maybe we'll do a meetup in Oslo on either end and we can do like a
that would
Jason
be
and Jackie
wonderful.
Meetup. That'd be cool.
That would be awesome. Yeah. I would love that.
Me too.
You know, Oslo is a city that's on the rise. I mean, I feel like having traveled around a bunch and kind of like thinking about cities in this way, I mean, being there for a while and seeing how much has changed over the last 5 years, mm-hmm. they're just doing the right things. I mean, I just see it changing. I feel it changing. There's stuff like they have a big policy that they're gonna make the city center car free by 2020 or 2022. And that's a huge thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's all kinds of debates around it and people are all pissed off and they started charging like heavy taxes to drive into the city. So like, yeah, people were bitching about that, but guess what? They stopped driving into the city, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, they're like forward thinking in a way that, yeah, these might be aggressive policies, but I mean, the airport, it's been built up so much over the last 5 years. It's just a city on the rise. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be one of these places where it becomes one of the top European destinations in the next 5 or 10 years. It's an awesome place. I mean, I'll give you a good example. Like last summer, just a beautiful day. Just like, you know what? Hop on a shared bike. I rode it from my apartment to the beach, went swimming in the fjord, hung out at the beach, rode a bike back downtown, like had an ice cream, came home. And it was just like, that was awesome.
Did I just,
you know,
do
like
that?
I felt like,
yeah, that's
yeah.
So
like
cool.
I felt like I just had, you know, one of those travel days where like, hey, I'm just going to go out and like ride to the beach and like have a little adventure. And it was like that, except right out my front door.
Mm.
So you have swimming, lakes, mountains, you got the fjords, tons of nature near Oslo. And then of course, when you get out of Oslo and into Norway, it's just so much beautiful nature. I know you love nature.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't love nature, right? Mm. So there's a lot of opportunities in the city to get into nature. And you can't say that about every city where you feel like, wow, this is pretty accessible, you know? So it's cool.
Wow.
Went skiing this winter, like the mountain that my buddy drove me, but you could actually take a bus from the city to like a ski mountain and go skiing.
That's so cool.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
What about the language there? I mean,
language.
Yeah. Like most people there speak English. We know this, right? And they actually speak it pretty well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about Norwegian though? Like, how much have you learned? How have you done that? How have you navigated that? Do people, when they first see you on the street, do they speak Norwegian to you? Or, you know, like,
that's an interesting question. You know, that's, I don't know. There's something weird about like, what is your experience when you go to Spanish speaking countries?
Oh, well, they speak Spanish to me.
They
you know,
speak Spanish,
of course
right
they
to
do.
You?
Yeah. I mean, because they speak Spanish to each other. You know, like that's the language there. It's very, and so they're not. I mean, they obviously know there are in most places. Well, in some places there are tourists around, and so they might expect it, but they'll still speak to you in Spanish. You know, so like, right. I imagine in Norway, like that is your experience as well? And then do you try and speak Norwegian back to them, or do you just speak English and be cool with it?
No, I like to try to speak Norwegian back to them. Mm-hmm. But it's funny because I think there's something with your energy and your swagger, the way you come up to say like a counter to order a coffee. I'm always wondering, like, are they going to speak Norwegian to me, or are they going to speak English? And I find that if I come with like a mindset of speaking Norwegian, it just happens because there's some kind of like thing that gets picked up. I don't know what it is. But yeah, generally I'll try to speak Norwegian because I live in Norway and I can speak Norwegian. So like, why wouldn't I do that? My Norwegian's not so great, but like some places that I work and local spots that I go to, I'll kind of like force them like, no, you gotta speak Norwegian to me.
That's so
so
cool.
Like good days, I'll try to do that. But I think with the language, I was very resistant at first for some of the reasons you mentioned at the beginning, where you're like, well, your time's valuable, right? And you're like, dude, like learning a language, that's a big commitment. And I have all this like stuff I want to do with my, you know, Zero to Travel podcast, or like all my work stuff and all these projects I want to do and things I want to make. And you know, you know how it is, Jack. I mean, you get excited about all this stuff. It takes time. And now I'm like, well, shoot, I'm going to learn a language that like, I'm probably, when am I going to use this? Mm-hmm. And there's only 5 million people here. And I had all this sort of resistance and this sort of negative mindsets around it. And I think the resistance was just to committing. Like, I think I was basically scared that I either wouldn't be able to do it, or that it would just take up so much time that I wouldn't have a life after, which it kind of did. But what I realized is, I totally shifted my mindset because I was like, well, wait a minute. It doesn't matter that only 5 million people speak this. Like, this is a part of my family, you know?
Exactly.
This is like a part of where I live. This is my home. This is my family. My kids are going to be speaking this language. Like, I want to be connected to this country and to these people and to my family in this way, and in the way that you can only be connected through language, right? Mm. I want to be able to sit at dinner with my in-laws and not just be like in my own brain thinking because I don't understand everything that's going on around me.
Yeah.
But it seemed like such an overwhelming task to go from zero to, you know, being fluent and being able to understand what's going on around you. But after I kind of like embraced all that, I was like, yeah, this is like a part of my life. It's a huge part of my life. It's part of my life journey. And learning Norwegian is a part of that. And it's important. And it's super important to my family and to me now. So it was like a total mindset shift. And then I got excited about it, even though it was super hard. Now, I was fortunate because I was on a family immigration visa. And as part of that, there is, like, to get permanent residency, which I just applied for, you have to have a certain level of proficiency. Mm-hmm. It's mandatory. So you have to pass tests at a certain level. And you could go in and do that and study on your own, or they will pay for you to have 500 hours of Norwegian language lessons at school. Yeah. And then you have to do like 50 hours of cultural classes, learning about society
that
and stuff.
Is so
and
cool.
I was like, well, yeah, let's get into this. I'm going to get my 500 hours. So that's what I did.
Oh my gosh.
And I don't know how I did it looking back. I mean, it was pretty intense for a long time. Like, learning a language, to me, the number one tip I could give people is just doing something with it every single day.
Persistence.
And because I had the school stuff, I was forced to, because I had homework and everything, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. It didn't matter how tired I was. Like, at the end of the night, I'd be working till like 10, 11. Like, we got a baby, all this stuff. And I'm just like, I got to do my Norwegian homework. And sometimes, like, I was literally dizzy looking at the workbook, but I still did it, you know?
Yeah.
And then I showed up to class and saw what I got wrong and spoke a little bit and then did my homework again. And I just kept doing that over a period of a year and a half. And at some point, it just starts working, you know?
Yeah, it just kind of, man, what a cool part of the system there that they like provide that for you, that opportunity. And I mean, you have to say yes to it. So good for you. But wow. So
they do an incredible job of integrating immigrants into society by teaching them about Norwegian society, and forcing you to learn a language means that you are just going to be more connected to that society.
Of course.
You just are.
And you probably won't leave. You'll have less of a, they probably want you to stay, you know, and you're more likely to stay too if you're invested and you like the place and like you could speak the language and
Yeah. And like anytime I would struggle with a language, it's pretty easy to kind of check yourself and get some gratitude when you're sitting in class next to like somebody from Syria who had to leave their home country because of their war. Mm-hmm. I'm there because, hey, I married a Norwegian and I have kids and I'm choosing to be here. Meanwhile, they're like coming from a war-torn country. They wish they could just be home, but their country's in shambles. And they had to go somewhere to escape this war. And now they're in Norway and they're there learning the language and they're living in this new country because their home country isn't safe. It's like if, okay, you know, my piddly, you know, bitching about, you know, having to learn this or that because this is too hard or whatever. It's like pales in comparison to what these people are going through. So having the opportunity to sit next to people from around the world in the class was also a really cool and humbling experience.
I bet that's pretty powerful right there. Can you like teach me something in Norwegian?
Sure. I'll teach you a famous Norwegian saying.
Ooh, okay.
Hold on. Let me, hold on. I'm done my second cup of coffee now. I got this.
Oh, wait, I want to ask you to teach me something else too. Cause this is a phrase that I collect in lots of languages. How do you say I'm hungry?
Jeg sulten.
Jeg what?
Sulten.
Sulten. Does it have an L in it?
Yes.
Like
I think
Sultan?
You spell it.
That's how
yeah,
I see it.
Exactly. Okay. Jeg is I, like J-E-G.
J-E-G.
R is E-R. Jeg I am sultan. S-U-L-T-A-N, I think is how you spell it.
Like a sultan. Okay. Yeah. And you say jeg?
Yeah. Jeg.
Jeg sultan.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
What?
See, you speak Norwegian.
Oh, look
you
at
are
that.
Good at language.
I speak Norwegian, guys.
You are crazy good at languages. That's kind of like your gift, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is. It really
so annoying, Jackie.
No, it's the only thing I got. Let me keep it.
No, I think it's awesome. I'm always super envious of people that are good at language because I really had Sultan, by the way, is S-U-L-T-E-N,
okay.
Not A-N.
Okay.
I think I said A-N. I am always a bit jealous of people that are like you that can just, you know, this is also encouragement for anybody listening that is like, well, I can't learn a language. Like Jackie's got that gift, but I don't have it. I don't have it either. And it took a lot of work, but you can do it. You can do it. It's just a little bit harder, I think, for us. And then, but to get good at language, you need to learn languages. And now I can see the value in getting one under your belt. Because you go through it, like I think the first one's the hardest. And now I can understand, oh, now that I've learned these certain things, I have a framework to go into another language and be like, oh, okay, that's similar to English in this way or Norwegian in this way. You just have more kind of foundational elements to kind of lean back on or compare to. So, I mean, would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. In fact, I love that you just said that with Norwegian because I feel like I absolutely have that, but all of the languages that I speak are romance languages, except for German. German's like the one that's a little bit different. But what you just nailed it with the word framework. It's like once you've been through the almost like the curriculum, like the rules of the language, it opens you up to add more, like for another language, no matter what the language is. Like once you, because you have to break down these things and you have to understand pieces of moving languages, you know, and then you can apply like, oh yeah, I remember learning that in this other language, like this is similar to that or whatever. Or sometimes what's really magical is like, if there's a whole formula and you learn a word that can be put into the same formula that you learned in the last language, it's like, what? Okay, let's skip to the next lesson because I just learned that in 5 seconds. You know, like moving on. Like that's also really cool. But I can't imagine it would be so similar with Norwegian.
Yeah.
Like Norwegian's a big monster. Like it's just so different. Actually, I could see it being, I mean, it's similar to, like I've learned some things here and there in like Swedish and I could see Dutch and German like also playing a role in that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of similarities between like basically Swedish and Norwegians. They speak together, no problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I thought, oh, when I know Norwegian, I'll also know Swedish. That's true if you grew up in Norway.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But I think because there's a lot of blending mm-hmm. with those two cultures. There's like a good sibling rivalry there too, which is funny.
Yeah.
They like love each other, but they love to hate on each other. You know, it's kind of funny.
A healthy but, rivalry.
Yeah. But I imagine I could get there at some point. I think if I spent more years mm-hmm. and we'll see, I'll have to circle that's back cool. with you on that. But yeah, it's anybody that's thinking about, I mean, it changes the experience in the country so much if you can speak some of the language.
Absolutely.
And you don't have to be fluent. I mean, you know, as well as I do, if you even just say a sentence or two in a language or you make an attempt, it's so appreciated, mm-hmm. appreciated. And then you can just make connections with locals so much easier. It's just really cool part. I think it's one of the most, in this day and age, I mean, you can get on a plane, fly anywhere. That's the beautiful thing for people who love travel. It's so easy to get around. And I think one thing that people leave off of their pre-trip checklist is too much is learning some of the language,
mm-hmm, absolutely.
Even if it's just a little bit, yep. because there's all the stuff you need to prepare for the trip. But then the one thing that's going to probably change or impact the experience of the trip the most is being able to speak a little bit of the mm-hmm. language. It's just awesome. And it's scary, but
it's so
you just
fun,
do it
though.
And
yeah.
people are nice.
Yeah.
People are nice. They're like, yeah, you might say the wrong thing sometimes. Sure, in my Norwegian class, I told people I owned an internet website about spanking. But, you know, I mean, you got to make these mistakes sometimes to get
yeah,
it right.
Totally, yes. The word so. In Spanish for embarrassed is a false yeah. cognate to pregnant. And so that happens often too. Yes.
I'm so pregnant.
I know, no, it happened. And it's funnier when it comes out of the mouth of a male, you know, like it's just like everybody just dies together. It's so like, good.
Why are you pounding that tempranillo then?
Okay, so let's do this then. There are some words I always try to learn when I go to a country where I don't speak the language. So mm-hmm. can you teach me these words? They're easy. I know you know them. So
okay,
let's start
so.
With hello.
Hi.
Really? Hi?
Yes.
Is it like H-E-J?
Well, you can say,
something?
Like hello. So that's what a lot hello. Of them will say, like H-A-L-L-O, hello.
Yeah.
Or like in Norwegian, they'll say hi, which is
hi.
H-E-I is just hi. But for some H-E-I, reason, they say it okay. twice. So they'll say hi, which is kind of like a cute way of saying hi, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of funny. And they'll also say hi when they're getting off the phone sometimes. Like my wife will say that to her oh. mom. Like, hi, but you're saying hi, but it's goodbye, you know? So,
okay.
yeah.
kind of like a chow, yeah.
Right.
Okay, so what about goodbye?
Hada.
How do you spell that?
H-A, first word, and D-E-T. Second word.
Wow. Say it again.
So it's like, so the full word is ha de bra, which is like have it good. Ha de bra.
Ha de bra.
Bra, B-R-A, like yeah. is good. So mm-hmm. like ha de bra, but de usually bra. You just say ha de.
So
which is
okay.
just goodbye. Yeah.
Cool.
So like they're kind of just saying like have it, but it means have it good. You
yeah.
know, goodbye. It's goodbye.
Yep. Okay. Okay. What about thank you?
Tusen takk.
Tusen takk. Or do you just say takk?
Yeah,
like
you can just
thanks?
Say takk. Yeah,
is
tusen
takk
is like, yeah, takk is T-A-K-K.
K-K, okay.
So you
that's
can just say takk. Takk is thanks, yeah. But tak. If you say tusen takk, that's like, thanks so much. It's like tusen is 1,000, so it's like 1,000 thanks.
Ah.
You can say tusen hjertelig takk, which is like thanks from my heart, like, 1,000 thanks from my heart. Kind
wow,
of.
That's a big thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tusen, okay. Tusen takk. I love that. That's like mil gracias, like 1,000 thank yous. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Grazie
yeah,
mille. Grazie mille.
Grazie
Italian.
Mille. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. cool. Okay. What about please?
Vasha snill.
Varsha snill.
So it's like, would you be so kind? Is like the direct translation. So it's three words. It's var, which is like V, and then like Norwegian has the AE connected.
Okay.
It's a letter that's like an AE connected, R. And then so is a S and A with that circle over top of it.
Okay.
And then snill is a S N I L L. So it's like var so snill. Like you can say like, du är så snill, like you are so nice, you know.
Var så snill.
Var så snill. It's kind of like var så snill. It's kan jag var så snill för pancake or something, you know. Can you have vasha snill for en cup coffee? So it's like, can I please have a cup of coffee? Yeah.
Cool. More. I want to learn it. Okay, beer. What about beer?
Ol. That's an easy one. I love how they just made funny. Like, please is three words, but beer is just two letters. Does that say something about Norwegian society?
Just have to be able to say ol.
Ol, yeah, it's like O with the line through it, which is a cool letter.
Okay.
That's also in my wife's last name. And then L, ol. Mm-hmm. And I'll teach you a saying, which is a common saying in Norway.
Okay.
And it goes, det finnes ikke dårlig vær, bare dårlig klær. And that just means... This is a very popular Norwegian saying. It means there's no such thing as bad weather, only bad clothing.
Oh, yes. I say that. I love that. I got to learn. Okay, can we repeat that? I want to learn it. I'm also going to have you write this down for me so I can practice it later. But let's try that again. I want to repeat after you.
Du finnes is like D-U and then F-I-N-N-E-S. Finnes.
Du finnes.
Du finnes ikke dårlig vær. Ikke is I-K-K-E. Dårlig is like bad. D-A with the O over it. Or with the circle over it. R-L-I-G. And then var is also weather. Like var så snill. We just talked about. V-A-E-R. Bara is like B-A-R-E. Bara. Dårlig klar. And klar is clothing. So it's like K-L-A-E. That AE letter again, R. So, du finnes ikke dårlig vær, bare dårlig klær.
Du finnes ikke dårlig vær. Keep going.
Bare dårlig klær.
Dårlig klær.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love it. That's cool.
That's a fun.
There is no bad weather, only bad gear. You know why I say that? Because Patagonia.
Yes. Anywhere that the weather is like that, people have great weather sayings, right?
Yeah, exactly. And like, Norwegians, no, you just have to be prepared.
Yeah, they get out in anything. There's no like, I mean, I guess that's the reason they were the Vikings, right? Like, you know, I take my daughter to daycare and it's like pouring rain. They just like, all right, we'll just put the rubber boots on and like everybody get outside. And they're outside, you know, because like if you don't go outside because it's not nice, then you won't be outside a lot in Norway because there's like the weather can be a challenge. So, this is just part of their culture. You just get outside in all elements. And it's a really cool thing, I think. And the kids sleep outside also at the daycare. Unless it's below 10 degrees or something.
Celsius, you're talking.
No.
Fahrenheit?
Yeah, it has to be really cold for them to sleep inside. Yeah.
They check that out.
They have sleeping bags, like, you know, winter sleeping bags in their strollers. And they put the kids in sleeping bags and strollers and they sleep outside. That's how they take their naps.
Wow.
It's badass, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's so rad, man. Okay. All right, I'm going to try this one more time. I'm going to try this one more time. Hopefully not butcher it. Okay. Because I wrote it down. Okay. Du, is it du or de? De?
Du.
Du. Du finnes ikke dårlig vær, bare dårlig klær.
There you go.
Yeah.
I should not be the one teaching you Norwegian, by the way. I should be bringing my wife in here to do this because I'm sure my accent's not very good, but there you go. Well, I'm doing the best I can.
I love it. Thank you. It's fun. How do you say cheers?
Skål.
Skål is the same? Okay.
Yeah.
I say the same because it's similar in Scandinavia, rest of Scandinavia. So.
Yeah.
Cool. I like it. I'm excited for you that you're doing this whole journey in Norwegian and life in Norway and kids in Norwegian and all the things.
Me too. It's funny my daughter speaks Norwegian and then I just speak English back to her. But now that we've been in the States, her English is good. Like she understands everything. She's incredible. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't speak it back as much. And now she's starting to, like she'll say the thing in Norwegian first and then English second. And I'm just that's so cool.
That is the coolest thing ever. Like,
yeah.
To watch that. That's
it's
so
amazing.
Cool. Wow.
Learn a language changes your life.
Heck yeah. Big time. Oh man. Okay. Well, Jason, it's been an hour, so I'm going to go ahead and cut us off here because I could keep asking you questions about Norwegian. This has been so cool. It's always so fun to talk to you. And I love that we went a totally different direction today and just talked about something we haven't talked about before. It was really fun to learn more about you and your life and Norwegian and like Norway and the way of things. So I really appreciate it on behalf of everybody listening. I hope they do too. But yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for having me and letting me share some of this. It's nice because these are things I don't get to talk about super often. So it's nice to kind of unload and share a little bit. It's great. Yeah. And we'll practice your Norwegian a bit more when we're hanging out in person in Norway.
Yes.
When we get there.
I'm going to get that saying down and then teach it to everybody who comes on that trip too. Because it's going to be a winter trip because I want to do Northern Lights. So I've got to catch it in the right season. And so it's probably going to be like February next year, like Northern Lights, like dog sledding and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Winter in Norway. But like you said, there's no bad weather, only bad gear. Yay.
There you go. And they will put you in giant winter suits up north if they're, you're going to need that.
If we need it, when we need it.
But the Northern Lights took me like 3 years in Norway to see. And then when I saw it, it was up. My wife's from a rural area in Hedmark. And I saw it on Christmas and it was spectacular. It was worth it, the wait. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to try. So we'll see what happens. But
yeah.
Jason, at Zero to Travel, you guys know Jason, but if you want to go check out Jason's stuff and his podcast, Zero to Travel, go check that out. ZeroToTravel.com and at Zero to Travel on Instagram and all the things. Yeah. Jason, thank you again. And all the things. You're at Zero. You're Zero to Travel. That's what you are everywhere. So.
Yeah, that's
easy to find.
Easy.
But thank you so much for coming on again. And I can't wait for next time.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks
enjoy
for
the rest
me.
Of your vacation, your papa permission, whatever you call it.
Thank you. Yeah. And thanks for listening, everybody. I appreciate
it. All right. Talk to you again very soon. Thanks, Jason. Right.
Take care.
Okay, that's it for today, guys. Again, happy 5th podcast anniversary to us all here at Jump, formerly BMT. And thanks again to Jason for sharing his story with us today. If you liked what you heard about that group trip to Norway we mentioned and want to make sure you're in the loop for such announcements, go subscribe for trip updates at travelingjackie.com/trips. Those emails are where all the big news comes out. You'll be the first to know what trips are upcoming and you'll also have first dibs for signups. I just opened up Patagonia for this year and you guys on the list nearly sold it out before it even opened to everyone else. So make sure you're on that list if you want in on these trips. That being said, there are still a few spots left for Patagonia this year and you can find all of that at travelingjackie.com/trips. We're kicking off a new series in the next episode, so please stay tuned and I'll see you guys there. Safe travels, everybody.